What I appreciate about the hymns is the theology in them. They're so sound. A lot of them are, not all of them, but this is one of them. So you get a lot of good theology in some of these songs. And the hymn writers were so good. Fanny Crosby, the blind one, she was amazing. Many, many hymns you'll find in the hymnal that she wrote. But just incredible what they could put together in one phrase and so much theology in one verse, right? So we can still appreciate them. They never get old. They're timeless. Amen. All right.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring that my Lord was crucified, knowing that it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned. Till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. And there my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my king. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Oh, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. And there my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation. Oh, the grace that brought it down to men. Oh, mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. His mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there. At Calvary. At Calvary.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And it's all true. That's great stuff. You might want to take a closer look at those words sometimes because they're really good. Sometimes we sing through them so fast, but I praise God. I thank you. The word that stands out to me is liberty. Do you know that he who the Son sets free is free indeed? Did you know that wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty? And he wants to bring you and I into his greater freedom. Freedom not to sin, but freedom to enjoy the inheritance, the kingdom, right? So get ready. He's bringing us out to bring us in to a better place. That's right. Amen. I got one amen. Thanks, Fred. All right. I love you. I told my wife last Sunday after we left church, I said, hugging Fred is like hugging God. Yeah. Come on. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
I am weak, but thou art strong.
That's sure true.
Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, let me walk flows to thee. Oh, just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea, my humble plea. Daily walking close to thee. Dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snare, if I falter, Lord, you care. Oh, but who with me my burden shares? Oh, the body, dear Lord, none but thee. Oh, just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Oh, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is o'er, and time for me will be no more. Oh, guide me gently, safely, oh, to thy kingdom shore. Let it be, dear Lord, yes, let it be.
Isn't that fun? Yes.
Old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation's door, where could I go but to the Lord? Hey, where could I go? Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord?
Amen.
Neighbors are kind, I love them, everyone. We get along in sweet accord. My soul needs manna from above. Where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing a friend to help me in the end. Could I go but to the Lord? You know life here is grand, with friends I love so deep. Comfort I get from God's own word. Yeah. yet when I face the chilling hand of death, where could I go but to the Lord?
Come on!
To the Lord, yeah.
Glory to God.
As I journey through this land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson foe. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on, through Him I must win. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, let it sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to Him. He will give me light. Though Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads whatever tide. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in valleys low I look toward the mountain high, and behold my Savior there, He's leading in the fight. With the tender outstretched hand toward the valley low, I see, I can see as I overgo. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there and sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Cares all past, cares all past, I'm home at last, ever to rejoice.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within Your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power, Your name is healing, Your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire.
Oh, I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, get out of here. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Oh, break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name of Jesus. Sing that much again. Come on. Make it a prayer. Shout Jesus from the mountains. And Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name of Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Oh yeah. Every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Your name is power. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Yes, it is. Break every stronghold, shine through. Burn like a fire. Church, do you know the authority that you have in Jesus' name? He has given all power and authority to you to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. And I just feel like right now there's this unified voice going out that we are in harmony with. And I just think that we could accomplish some things this morning as we unite our hearts and minds in prayer, you know, and declare those things that we want to see happen in our families, in our homes, in our churches, in our workplace, amen, with our friends, amen. Do you witness that this morning? Jesus has given the church his authority, and we want to exercise that this morning. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord, I speak against every unsaved loved one, Lord. We come against every unbelief, every lying spirit, every deception. And I pray that you deliver our children, deliver our families, deliver our loved ones, deliver our friends. Lord, that their eyes would be open to see the light of the glorious gospel, that the God of this age will no longer deceive and blind. Lord, we thank you that there is power in the name of Jesus to bring healing, Lord, as your church. We just declare that over your people. Every need here today represented. Financial miracles, healings, physical miracles, mental and emotional stuff going on. Lord God, I speak peace in Jesus' name that Satan will no longer have a stronghold in our lives. Lord God, we will exchange our thoughts for yours, and we'll exchange our opinions for yours, Lord. Let him go in Jesus' name right now. I just pray you let go of those old opinions, those old ways of thinking, and never go back to them again.
Never revisit those places in your lives again. Amen? That's the truth. That's the truth. We're only given the devil food, fodder to work with. So, all right, this might be heavy for some of you. This is where I live. This is where it's at. This is the life in the church. Whoo! So, for some of you who have a difficulty believing that you're worth anything to God or anyone else, there's a song I wrote recently called You Are a Miracle. And it's true. Praise you, Jesus. The Bible says in Jeremiah 1:5 that before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and declared you to be a prophet to the nations. You don't think God knows that? That at the moment of conception, that there isn't destiny all over that thing? Isn't it true? It's true. That's what we believe.
Once you're conceived, you were meant to be. There's a plan and a purpose for you. This I believe, that once you're conceived, there's a destiny right from the womb.
Amen.
Fearfully and wonderfully made. You have never been a mistake. Every day was carefully planned, because nothing really happens by chance. You are a miracle, handmade by God, His fingerprints all over you. You are invaluable, you are essential, full of potential. You are a miracle. Oh, you are a miracle in the image of God. Believe it with all of your heart. You are exceptional, made in His likeness, so full of His brightness, yeah. You are a miracle. Oh, you are a miracle, handmade by God, His fingerprints all over you. You are invaluable, you are essential, so full of potential, yeah. You are a miracle, you are a miracle, you are a miracle, you are a miracle.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to do one last song. It's just called I Exalt Thee. It's one we used to sing so much in church, and I like it because it's directed right to God and personal.
For Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all God. For Thou, O Lord, high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above.
Oh. Hallelujah. Bring it to the Lord.
Oh, I exalt thee. I exalt thee. I exalt thee. Oh, Lord, yeah, I exalt thee, O Lord.
I'm going to speak to something in your lives right now and this morning, something important. You've been assaulted in your identity. If you've been assaulted in your identity, it's only because you pose a threat to the kingdom of darkness. He doesn't like you. And so there's this thing about being secure in the Father's love. And some of you need to be reassured that you're valued and treasured by the Most High God. Yes? And that He views you as flawless and without blemish in His sight. And that's how we need to view you. That's how you need to view yourself. And God wants to take and heal that and restore your identity back to you. And in Jesus' name, I believe He's doing that. He is doing that. I'm just declaring that now. It may not happen in a moment, but it could happen in a moment. And just speaking that to you right now. And if that's you this morning, just receive that healing from the Spirit of God. He wants to for you to hug Him. It's even better than a hug from Fred, but it's close, you know. Amen.
What we're talking about today is, like several of the songs that we sang, is a kind of people who emulate Christ, right? And so in that process, it takes a few things for us to really understand how that works. And part of it is our identity. And we're going to talk a little bit about how Jesus had His identity, shares His identity with us, and helps build us up as well. The other part it talks about is joy. Now, I don't know about you, but I didn't have great joy fields stocked up. I didn't realize the power and importance of joy. And then hesed, I didn't really understand, and I know I preached on it about a month ago or so. Until about 3 months ago, I learned a little bit more about it than I really truly understand. So in that, the Word of God is our strength. And the Word of God is our guide. And the Word of God is Jesus Christ Himself. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Now, probably unlike you, I've struggled with these in my life. So I don't know, is there anyone with me on that one? Oh, okay, all right, I'm not alone here. Not at all. And so the struggle is really truly understanding that God really moves into us, really puts His Holy Spirit into us, and we struggle and fight with that, right? We kind of try to tell God, well, yeah, you designed me and all, but, you know, all this power that you have, I'm not really sure I'm worthy of that power. And He wants to convince us otherwise. And He gives us the opportunity. In fact, I had the opportunity for doing something that wasn't wholesome last night, and I had to repent before I got up here to preach. So I did what this said in Matthew 4:17: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus came to bring God's kingdom to earth. I do have it up. To earth, and fill it with new citizens who live differently in this present age. Our salvation introduces us to a new kingdom, and we have learned to live according to the values of God's kingdom. And that's a tough place for our brains sometimes to capture, that When Jesus came into our lives, he really put us into a whole new kingdom. And sometimes it's hard for us to realize, but his kingdom is here on earth, not just in heaven, right? That's the Lord's Prayer. All right? But the kingdom is to come. So one of the things God wants to work on us, he always talks about renewing our minds. And I don't know, I sometimes struggle with that because I'm really not quite sure. I'm working things through my own mind, and what I found out in life is that when I work things out in my own mind, I'm probably not doing a fair justice. But when I start sharing it with other folks, and they start investing into me, and they maybe have more maturity, and they guide me through the process, I found that to be a more successful place than me serving God independently. And I think you remember last time I talked about how years ago I was the independent Christian. And so I trusted myself and I made things miserable at home for my wife and my kids. And then I ended up going to Promise Keepers, which taught me the value of getting involved with other men who helped challenge me. So the kingdom living requires changes in our character. Peter heard Jesus proclaim the new kingdom, and he never forgot this powerful truth. Jesus himself lived out a strong identity, and he taught his disciples. So that's part of what we're going to touch on today. So in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus delivers a heavy dose of group identity for his chosen royal special people. So what kind of people are we? Who are we? And you can imagine the change that Jesus came and goes up to these boat of fishermen and say, "Follow me." And that would be like, okay, I have a career doing firefighting or whatever, or I have a career working as a contractor or in law enforcement or something. And all of a sudden he said, "Oh, okay, well, we'll just follow Jesus." What a tremendous amount of faith that took, because those positions that they held were their livelihood. And so they just upped and left. So how do we act as members of God's kingdom on earth? All right, so in your bulletins, all right. Well, it's not in this bulletin. Of course he changed it up on me. It is? Where's it at? It got moved?
I think I know what you're thinking.
Who we are? Okay, first paragraph. Thank you. I appreciate that. All right, so if you open up your bulletins, and Mark read it last week, it says, we are a group of people who love Jesus and love other people. We meet together to strengthen our friendships, welcome others into our lives, give encouragement, receive support, celebrate stories of redemption, experience freedom, discover truth, impact others with hope. Please join us in our journey. So there's an example of who we are as the Nazarene Church. And that was right there. Okay. So there's something to that, identifying ourselves as what kind of people we are. And that could be all over the board, right? We see it left and right on social media, on internet, blogs, Twitter, all kinds of things, Facebook. And people are telling us who they are. And it's not always really pretty, is it? Kind of mean, kind of hard and harsh. Ephesians 5, what kind of people are we? So here's a list right out of the scriptures that gives us a guidance. We are a people who walk in love just like Christ because it's sweet perfume to God. We are people who are careful with our sexuality and our money because these corrupt us. We are people who carefully with our words and jokes. That was my repenting last night. Got a little course on my joking. I know none of you have done that last night, right? You guys are good. Thank God. All right. We are people who diligently find out what pleases God. And we are people who avoid and expose the works of darkness. In other words, we want to protect people, right? We are people who use our time carefully here on earth, making the most of every opportunity. We are people, let me catch up to that so you can see it, who do not get drunk and are filled with the Spirit. We are people who sing to each other and make up songs that connect us to each other and to God. Amen. How important is that song thing?
Very.
Huge. God asks us to do it to one another. So if you get into a small group or something, it's really cool to do a little singing back and forth to each other. It's something that lifts up our heart. And you see, music even in the world has a profound impact. People pay millions of dollars for a great hit. Always give thanks to God for everything. Even when we're hurting, even when our child is dealing with a life-threatening disease, when things are going good for our friends or our neighbors, those are good times for that. Okay, so our actions in our new kingdom. Ephesians 5:8, Paul reminds us of the change in our group identity as a result of knowing Christ. So how many believe when you gave your life to Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit actually came into your body as a temple? And I want to tell you that is the truth. It's the Word of God. The Word of God says that. And we forget, don't we? I sure have many times that the Holy Spirit is right there when I've been in times of trouble or when I've had family that's hurting. And God is there. Once in darkness, but now you are in light in the Lord. Live as children of light. The identity shift experience in a new believer. When I was, I came to the Lord at 16, and it was a very traumatic time in our household. But these other men of God came alongside me. I went to a church camp. I saw how they acted with each other. Pretty soon I started doing life with that group. And they unselfishly devoted their time to me, spent time with me, allowed me to come into their families. I got to know them and their families and other folks. That is inconvenient, right? Rather inconvenient. So to serve God is inconvenient, right? It's just easier. I don't know if you guys really realize that. I seem like an outgoing type person, but really I'd rather just go spend time with myself, but I know God won't let me stay there. I've shared that before. And so to serve God is inconvenient. What brings that to life and what brings that more to where we can actually live it is that joy that God brings along into our hearts. When we control, or when our control center is working well, who are we in relationship with Jesus? It's usually pretty good, right? We understand we're at a good place there. And how do I act with his covering? I know God's strength there. It gives me courage. It gives me strength. It helps me to encourage other folks. If my circumstances are integrated into my group identity, in other words, who we are, I spontaneously act with joy and peace. Now, it's like anything else. I know in a lot of the trades that you work, you got trained to do your job, right? A couple hours, 6 months, academy, or whoever else, whatever trade you've done, there was a lot of time where you exercised and trained and learned and people taught you. You had mentors take you through that process. That's all part of that. But when we're desynchronized in our brain, I will often forget who I am and I struggle with connecting with those around me. I stopped acting like myself. Now, it's interesting I say myself. Myself is my relationship with God and when we're tied together. That's my true identity in the kingdom of God, right? But when I don't have that, when I'm off, things go sideways. And I think I shared with you last time I struggled with rage in my life in the past, and God relieved me of it. Guess what that did? It was all tied to processing shame in my life that I tried to put off, and I was arrogant enough to say, I don't think I have shame, but maybe I can help someone else. And then the Holy Spirit broke me down. And it was shame against my father and what he was and everything that he stood for. I detested. And when God healed that, then I didn't have that. So isn't it amazing how sometimes our struggles go back way far into our childhood? Which is interesting, right? We don't think so sometimes as we get older. So we stop acting like myself. Even though I'm a Christian, I stopped acting like one. My brain has cramped. I no longer act with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So, Pastor Mark asked me if I'd come up and preach, and I said, I would love to. Well, that went back when we were at Hinesville Church. One of our youth pastors was talking and giving a little mini sermon to the youth. And he talked about, hey, well, next time someone asks you to do something, you remember that, Ian? When he talked about, if your parent asks you to do something, say, I would love to do that. Well, you'd be surprised if your kids started doing that, right? But it had such a profound effect on me. You know, I was worked as a, I think at that time I was a battalion chief with Cal Fire. And I thought, you know, I'm going to try this at work. So I started doing it. When someone asked me to do something, I said, I'd love to do that. They kind of looked a little shocked at first, right? I was like, what did you just say? But after you do it for a lot of years, it's amazing how it not only gave them something to look at, but I was demonstrating something that they don't normally see. And especially for a supervisor, when you have an employee who says, I would love to do that, that is a delight to our hearts. And it really touches us. So can you imagine when Jesus asks us to do something? That's really inconvenient, but I'd love to do that, right? So you start combining those together. Not an easy thing. Not an easy thing. So I did it at work. I did it with other men's ministry. God switched after 30 years doing youth. I got switched over to doing men's ministry. And when I started doing it there, it really was beneficial too. So one of the things Mike talks about, you know, when you hug Fred, you feel like you're hugging God. Well, you really are. Because every one of you has that plantation of God in you. And what really makes the difference for us, it's not our strength or our willpower that overcomes. It's the blood of Jesus on us. And when the Father looks down, that's who he sees, is Jesus in us. And so that's what we want. We want that reflection. But not only the reflection, we want the presence of Jesus in us, and that's okay. And he wants it. He wants to be there for you. So Dave, if you help me out, would you mind doing something like that? By helping out with the Bible study, the small group when we're there, can you speak out on different topics? I would love to do that. Now, I do say this with a caveat. If you're getting stretched to a point that's beyond your strength or beyond your scope to be sane in the workload, sometimes you got to say no. So there is that caveat. But if you feel like God wants you to do that, even though it feels a little inconvenient or uncomfortable, I would love to do that. It's an amazing thought, isn't it? All right. So what it takes to be successful in this is a high joy hesed community. In other words, we can't do this alone. God designed us this way. We cannot do this alone. We are required to be with each other in fellowship to receive and build our joy field. So if I'm not part of a high joy hesed community with a strong group identity, I will not know how to change my behavior. Isn't that interesting? So if I take personal therapy or if I read self-help books, will that do it for me? Our body's not designed that way. I know there's got to be some mental health workers that probably know more about it than I do, but there is a connection between facial recognition, our relationship with them. When I see Brian, joy hits my heart. I just love seeing Brian. Or Dave, or anybody here, Pastor Mark, Terry, joy just hits my heart. And I think that's part of the connection. It's how we're designed, why fight it, right? My willpower, it will be inefficient, as I mentioned before. It'll prevent me from acting out what God wants me to do, and I will behave like my old man. All right, Jesus acted like himself, right? The Son of God, well, he was God. But he had some things going for us. Remember, this is the God who created us. So it's not like any surprise to him. Hey, I got to figure out how to get these dummies to do what I want. He doesn't do that. He knows we have the struggle. He knows we have the fight. And yet, here's Jesus' character. All he does is reflect his character and allow us to accept him into us to renew our minds. He's all about that. So his character flowed from his heart. He always acted like himself in all circumstances. When he was criticized and attacked, I don't know about you guys, but I hate that. I'm still immature, still working on that, not reacting emotionally. I may not say something, so I've have some improvement, but emotionally I still struggle with that same thing. When people engulf me or surround me everywhere, maybe when you get around a crowd or something like that, it could be a little difficult for you, but he still acted like himself. When the crowds deserted him and when they abandoned him, he still acted like himself. You guys couldn't stay up one more hour praying for me, talking to his apostles? These are the guys Jesus spent almost 3 years with, right? Showing them, doing all that stuff. What was it they didn't have to change it over that Jesus had to say that to them? The Holy Spirit hadn't come, right? Yeah. However, the Holy Spirit was still involved in a few things when they went out and preached and did things like that, but they didn't really have the full covering of Jesus because Jesus had to die to be sacrificed for that final atonement for all of us. Okay, the personality of Christ. Now, this is pretty amazing to me, right? He's hanging on the cross, dying for our sins, taking that heavy load. Not only is he dying, but he's also taking on the burden of all of our sins and rebellion against God. And then he says, make sure someone takes care of my mother. I don't know if you're... I can't even imagine the pain of hanging on that cross with being whooped and my whole body is just a bloody mess. And then I got big old giant nails, got me nailed up on a big piece of wood. And the tremendous amount of pain, even if you dropped your legs, you can't breathe. And so then you push back up and it's painful. And yet he wants someone to take care of his mother. God is the same all the time. So the personality of Christ in group identity. Even if we have high joy community with a strong hesed attachment. Now hesed, if you recall, is the word that God uses for this sticky love for us. In other words, he doesn't abandon us. And he puts his face in our face. He holds his face in our face. That's how important each and every one of you are. That is how important you are to God. And even if we are in that with strong hesed attachments, we still need to develop deep-rooted group identity as part of our discipleship. So we should be driven by one personality for all of us, and that is Jesus Christ himself. Okay, so building group identity, how do we do that? So we're building it around the character of Christ, so we're staying consistent with that. Our group identity must also be integral to that which comes out of our pores. In other words, we live it through and through all the time. We may struggle with ourselves. We'll fight and push Jesus away at times. Come back to that. We repent. He immediately embraces us. He doesn't make us suffer. He brings us right back to that. And that's what we want to do. We want to ooze it till it comes out of your pores. And I'm not bragging because there's other times I proved to people I wasn't a very good Christian at all. But there are times when I have been obedient to Christ where someone I've been sharing with, and sometimes I can't even remember what that was, whatever I said, really touched them. And I believe it's the Holy Spirit. And so that takes the pressure off of me. I don't have to perform, right? I don't have to perform for God to work. So, and I did tell you the story last time where a friend of mine came to the Lord. I really hounded him. I was very legalistic. Now he serves to the Lord to this day as a pastor. And we were talking one day and he goes, despite you, I came to Christ. And that's the beauty of it. We could screw up and the Holy Spirit is still moving on people. Sometimes just by the simplest things we say. And I've heard other people say down the road, well, that guy's the real deal. Because Jesus was the real deal for me, and I didn't have any strength without him. So leaders must offer a robust development of identity that can handle a wide range of life situations. And the year we've been here, this church has gone through several where people have been sick, deathly ill, have died, just hurting in the families. We have children that are running in the world and don't know Jesus, and our hearts ache for them. And God is still there. God is still there. The leader must provide intentional practices that start from the identity of into the soil. In other words, that hesed, joy, it needs to be something we can pull from. I did tell you last time, too, that we were getting ready to go on an RV trip, and Kelly said something to me, and I immediately got mad. I didn't open my mouth, thank God for that. I got mad, and then this popped in my mind was, where's your joy field? So that, and this is all out of a book called The Other Half of the Church, where I've gotten all this stuff here. And then I thought about that, and I go, I need to reach my joy field. And it was like my brain short-circuited. It was the weirdest feeling altogether. And then the anger dropped out completely because I popped into my joy and pulled it out. Wow, this stuff works. All right, so speaking regularly to each other, we're here for each other to encourage each other, right? And so build a strong character identity by speaking regularly to each other about what kind of people we are. So you see a brother mess up and go sideways. Is it wrong for us to address that person? No, if we love them, it's hard. It's what we should do. However, the majority of people don't do it. Why is that? They're just not comfortable with it. They're not used to talking. I mean, in their own family, they're probably a little more honest. But when you get into a family outside of your family, not if your brain doesn't truly understand that this is our family, we're going to fight that. It's just not comfortable. And Glenn, I'm going to make you a spectacle. Something came out in our preparing for doing small groups, our training and so forth. And do you mind if I shared that item about... Well, it was one of those. It was one of those things, and again, this is not. I would love to do that. I would love to praise God, hallelujah! I feel the Spirit of God moving right now. So, but it was a simple thing. It was a struggle when people don't understand theology and they kind of go off on a side note, so forth. Glenn was just strong in his presentation. Apparently does that to his mother-in-law too and other folks. But he was willing to repent. We talked a little bit afterwards. But he gave me grace to allow me to just speak into him that God says you'll know my people by their gentleness. Right? And now this is coming from a law enforcement guy. And also I have done law enforcement myself. And so he allowed me permission to do that. And that's important for us to do that to each other and be available. Because if we love each other, we care about each other, and we want eternal growth. We want to make sure we're preparing people for eternity, not just to be comfortable here on this planet. Wow. You guys feel comfortable with that? No. Be honest, no. It's inconvenient. All right, so we need to do the same with how we live. We need constant reminders. Fred needs constant reminders. Kelly is the exact right person I needed for my life because she will be honest with me. I have a very strong personality. I look like a big cuddly bear, but there's another side of Fred that you don't get to see regularly, praise God. And but Kelly is willing to keep me in line. Keep me in line, which I need that. My son will do the same with me. My daughter-in-law, she doesn't do that to me. She just loves me. No, she will too. So, but it's important that we're there for each other during good times. We're there for each other when we struggle, right? Okay, so opportunities, regularly building exercise, group identity. So this is something we're working on here. Steve, I know We've been talking about that quite a bit for small group stuff and things like that. So, and we know church is really important, but how many think that you remember a high percentage of what's said from the pulpit? Some of you probably do. Most of us remember about 10% of what we hear from the pulpit. But we know the value of the small group allows us to reflect on what we just heard. It also allows us time to have family and community on a more regular basis outside of church. And it allows us to be more intimate so that we can have that more honest conversation with each other. So in this book that I was referring to, the other half of the church, it does talk about several exercise things in there. Every week, start our meeting with an identity statement and then close our meeting with repeating the identity statement, who we are. We are people who would rather listen than speak. Or we are people. You will come up with your own, but we are people who seek that God is building others. We are people who spontaneously love our enemies and return blessings for cursings. We are people who remind each other who we are really, and whether we, especially when we forget. And we are people who share others' pains, when, even if we have caused it. So, just something to think about there. All right, so, opportunities. How do I act when I get a speeding ticket? I got pulled over the other day, and Kelly just thought it was the funniest thing in the world. Because that's what I usually did, was the other way around, right? What happens when we lose our job? I've been there. What happens when we get a promotion? Do we just throw it in everybody else's face? Do we treat people as obstacles for advancement? I have history of that too, which it's not pretty, but I repent from that. Make solving problems more important than relationships. I am super guilty of that one. So in my struggle with my dad's relationship, I was always trying to prove to my dad that I was something, that I had character, because he usually just tore us down in the family. And God was able to finally release me from that. But through that process, self becomes more important than other people, and it's not a good thing. Okay? Argue loudly with someone who disagrees with my politics. Oh. Forward. Thank you. See, my wife's still helping me out. See a leader insulting a person behind their back, and then we say nothing. We're not doing that leader a favor by allowing him not to grow. So relational soil, the first area for a strong group identity of our relational soil, a church that transformed the character of people agrees on the importance of joy and hesed. Jesus was a man of deep hesed joy, so our identities possess his traits. I just love that about him. So growing hesed in joy, we look at people in the eyes, right? Have you ever noticed that when I talk to you, I look you in the eyes? I wasn't that way when I was younger. Jesus taught me that. You look back in the eyes, in my eyes, I really know that you care. Well, Fred, I like Fred. I think he's cool to be around. I want to be around with him. Or Fred was an ass the other day, and I'll forgive him because generally he's pretty nice. It happens. It happens. I meant donkey, like in the Bible. We regularly remind each other who we are. I don't know if you've heard, and I've heard it from some other folks here, is that we are heirs of the King. God loves you so much. You are Jesus in this world. I know you guys have heard that from different people here. Identity, our group identity statements fortifies our relational soil. So as we stay in this group world, we develop our soil. We are people who are happy together. And I truly believe this church is that way. We are happy together. All right. So growing hesed and joy, we create environments of joyful belonging. We are people who value relationships above performance and productivity. That was a kid having fun, right? That law important part. All right, what's going on there? Glenn, can you take care of that? Terry? Okay. So performance and productivity is not the main goal. We are people who are faithful with friends, and I will not abandon you even if I cause the conflict. So I remember hearing a story out of a book one time where there was a guy who cleaned the yards and did all the landscaping at a church, and he was just always grouchy. And so this one gentleman came up and started talking to him, and they started talking about that joy. And at first he was a little frustrated. Why are you talking to me about, you know, but the guy knew God, but he was kind of living life on his own. They started doing a small group Bible study together, and that gentleman was able to reap and grab on to that joy, and I started to understand a little more of that hesed relationship, that sticky relationship, and it turned his life around. And then he went away and did some other stuff, came back a couple of years later, and that guy's life turned around, where he was encouraging other people. He would bring other people alongside of him to help minister, doing stuff around the church and things like that. So it really does change our hearts. And it does have a huge impact on others, because when we're living life by ourselves, angry and frustrated, it gets lonely. And it doesn't really reach out and touch other folks. All right. So, source of our hope, right? We are a people who get our group identity from the character of Jesus. Would you agree with that? Yeah. So far in this world, I've not found any hope that is that solid in my life. So Colossians 3:12, which we talked about, just another version of it here. So put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. So think of a recent time when you failed to act with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I'm not looking for testimony right now, but just ponder that thought. And I think all of us can pull from that pretty easily. But Jesus doesn't stay there. You may have blown it. You may have been hard on somebody or harsh or even cruel. You may have gossiped. You may have talked about someone in this church, but God doesn't keep us there. We turn to him, we repent, we come together. So part of what we're asking you to do is think about that small group. Our hope would be that 100% of you are in some small group or another, at least three or more people, where you meet with them once or a couple times a month or once a week or whatever works for you, but you have that connection. So here's what we're hoping you'd think about. Develop your group identity by repeating the above two practices the next five times you meet. So even if you'd meet with one person to get it started, that's way cool. But work on your identity. Who are you? Have someone in the group compile your identity. Make a list, right? And then this refers to the next chapter in the book that goes on to some other stuff, but this list will help you practice. It really is just an exercise program spiritually. All right. With that, I love 1 Peter 1:22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for one another, love one another deeply from the heart. For if you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. That's our task. And I really am heartbroken with English language, because the word love means so many different things. But in this sense, it really is talking about our hesed love for each other. A sticky love that doesn't give up, that truly loves the unlovely. Now in marriage, I've been pretty unlovely for Kelly a lot of times, but she never gave up on me. She may have wanted to kill me once or twice, but she never gave up on me. And so that's what God's love is. It never stops. It keeps going. It's always there for us. And when we feel like we're not worthy, the fact is we are not worthy. But with God's covering over us, we become absolutely holy, even if you're struggling with sin and so forth. God never gives up on us. All right. That's all I have to say this morning, Pastor.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. Because Fred's talked about who we are as a people, and we are that people, Lord. And yet, even though we're a loving body and we enjoy being here, Lord, we know that we don't have to be sick to get better. That you call us to grow from one degree of glory to another. And Lord, I know it's true that many of us, including myself, can't remember 10% or less or more of the previous week's sermon. And yet, Father, when we come here on a Sunday and when we interact in small groups and when we deploy into our community, Lord, we're your people. And these topics are very important, Lord, because we fail and we need our Christ-like identity to be formed by other brothers and sisters, Lord. We need to be accountable. We need to be linked up. We're in relationship. So I thank you, Father, for this word today. May you once again cultivate high joy and high hesed, high covenant love within our hearts and our minds. So we bless you and we thank you for this word and for all that you continue to do in our lives, which is more than we could ever ask, think, or imagine. To you be the glory in the church and throughout the ages. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Praise God from whom all blessings flow.